This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. And we have a bunch of stuff we're going to get into this hour. Gavin Newsom. Keep your eyes on Gavin Newsom. Yes, we're going to tackle some Gavin Newsom stuff. Debbie Wasserman Schultz said something absolutely hilarious. We'll get to emails. We'll get to something the Supreme Court did. Maybe some bad stuff in Ukraine. All that and more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show this hour. But, well, I guess maybe you don't know what time it is since it's Tuesday. Every Monday, start of the second hour, we do Medal of Honor Monday. I was gone yesterday, so we thought we can't be skipping out on that. We should do Medal of Honor Tuesday. And as always, you can email the show Love, Hate, Death Threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions, or if there's a Medal of Honor citation you like, you're welcome to email that in. This guy said, Devil Dog, Staff Sergeant Marsario Garcia was a Sugarland native, and his family are friends. That's cool. His citation is awesome if you could do it, since you don't speak Mexican. All right, and actually, it's funny you brought that up. This gentleman, Garcia, he was born in Mexico. One of the very rare cases, born in Mexico. His folks were farmers. I think he had like 10 siblings, huge family. Moved to America, worked on a ranch around Texas, got drafted into the Army. Now, I'll get to his citation in just a moment, but this fighting, this was a World War II thing. This was in Germany, Grossau, Germany, but more specifically, an area known as the Hürtgen Forest. Hürtgen Forest, okay? Most people don't know about this stuff because the war is so big. It all kind of blends together in one big ugly mess for us. And I know it does for me anyway. What's going on here? Well, it makes the Medal of Honor citation that much more impressive if you actually learn about what's happening around it. Oftentimes, that's the case. So here was the deal. We were obviously pressing in Germany. We wanted to seize river crossings across the Rhine. But that's one of those things that's very consistent in every military campaign in history. Crossing a river is difficult. It is dangerous. There are only so many places you can do it. Even if you blow the bridge was normally built in the specific place where it was the best place to cross it. It's hard to move men and equipment across the river. It is not easy. It is not fast. And every side knows this. Every side knows the river crossings are important. The side that's retreating knows it. The side that's attacking knows it. Germany knew it. We knew it. We had to get the river crossings across the Rhine, which brings us to this. Honestly, it's probably a really beautiful place, but for combat purposes, this living hell known as the Hürtgen Forest. It is not only hilly, extremely hilly, it's thick. The woods are supposed to be, I've never been there, but from everything I read, it's unbelievably thick, almost like a triple canopy jungle. It makes it so dark. The reason that matters for our purposes here is we threw a bunch of troops into there to get the Germans out of there so we could seize these river crossings. But this is a brutal environment to assault anything in. One of the main reasons is we couldn't use our air power that well. We couldn't hardly use it at all. When the woods are that thick, remember, by this point in the war, we had an air advantage over the Germans. We owned the skies by now. That gets completely wiped out in a forest this thick. The planes can't see. There's nothing to bomb. There's nothing to even recon. And our armor advantage, completely nullified. You can't be running tanks in woods this thick. So what it did was... it took some critical advantages we had gotten and removed our advantages. It would be like taking Muhammad Ali's jab away in a fight. That's what it was. We really evened out as far as strength goes. And so I'm going to read you something. This is, I want to make sure I give them credit. The Army Historical Foundation, but I'm going to read that. Just going to read this for you. You want to know what the fighting was like? And this is man versus man. Intense. In your face. As one of the infantry regiments of the 4th Division, the 22nd Infantry, that's Garcia's, spent 18 days in November and early December 1944 in the Hürtgen Forest. In a battle many believed mattered little in the big picture, the 22nd suffered 2,773 casualties, or 85% of its normal complement of 3,257 troops. Let me just, again, make that simple. 3,200 troops is about what they normally have. 2,700 casualties. Each rifle company went into action averaging 162 soldiers. 7 days later, the rifle companies averaged 87. We went into a deep, dark German forest without air power, without armor, and we met those daggone Germans. And the Germans were good. They knew we were coming. They were dug in on the defensive. And you're not only hacking your way through the woods, remember, you're going down into ravines and then up hills on the other side. And that's what brings us to what Mr. Garcia did. United States Army Staff Sergeant, again, born January 2nd, 1920 in Mexico. How about that?
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
While an acting squad leader of Company B, 22nd Infantry, on the 27th of November, 1944, near Grosshau, Germany, he single-handedly assaulted two enemy machine gun emplacements, attacking prepared positions on a wooded hill which could be approached only through meager cover. His company was pinned down by intense machine gun fire and subjected to a concentrated artillery and mortar barrage. Although painfully wounded, he refused to be evacuated and, on his own initiative, crawled forward alone until he reached a position near an enemy emplacement. Hurling grenades, he boldly assaulted the position, destroyed the gun, and, with his rifle, killed three of the enemy who attempted to escape. When he rejoined his company, a second machine gun opened fire, and again the intrepid soldier went forward, utterly disregarding his own safety. He stormed the position and destroyed the gun, killed three more Germans, and captured four prisoners. By the way, he was wounded in the shoulder and foot, in case you're wondering what the painful injuries were. He fought on with his unit until the objective was taken, and only then did he permit himself to be removed for medical care. Staff Sergeant, then Private, Garcia's conspicuous heroism, his inspiring courageous conduct, and his complete disregard for his personal safety wiped out two enemy emplacements and enabled his company to advance and secure its objective. How about that? Of Sugar Land, Texas. How about that? So that is a little story around that. And these German forests, they really are very similar to what you and I have discussed many times. The jungles that the Pacific World War II veterans had to fight in, very, very similar. You know how we would discuss, you remember this discussion where these Japanese emplacements, it was just so terrible. Our guys would be out on patrol, and you would all of a sudden just be gunned down, practically standing on top of the machine gun emplacement. How is that possible? Not only is the jungle super thick, but you could put an emplacement down and then just chuck a bunch of dirt on top of it, and just the natural environment would grow greenery there in a matter of days, let alone weeks. And so the jungle would essentially grow around your emplacement, which is the best concealment in the world. There's no way you could see. You can't see anything. And so death would just come from everywhere, nowhere. You can't tell. These German forests are not dissimilar, except there's one part of this battle that I did not mention. This is November in Germany. It was freezing. The temperature was freezing. The men were wet, cold. When they were wounded or dying, because we couldn't get vehicles in there because it was so thick, they had to haul people out by hand. And so what they don't tell you is people are dying because it takes so long to get them back to aid stations. You and your buddies, you have to grab your other buddy on a stretcher because he got wounded. He bleeds out before you can get him all the way back. Just a horrible, horrible situation. And like all situations, some men rise. Staff Sergeant Garcia rose to the occasion. And we don't have to play taps because the man lived. How about that? Speaking of fighting in the jungle, how much do you know about Mac V. Sog? If you listen to this show at all, you know quite a bit, but Mac V. Sog, the behind enemy lines guys in Vietnam, they spent their time in Laos and Cambodia hunting down the North Vietnamese and oftentimes being hunted themselves. The casualty rate is unimaginable, far north of 50%. Most of them died. It was such a dangerous job, most of them died. Do you know that the CEO of Pure Talk was Mac V. Sog? Two tours, not one. He did one tour like that and said, I'll do it again for my country. If you've ever asked yourself why Pure Talk does what they do for veterans, why would a company hire Americans in customer service? Nobody does that. That has to cost more. Of course it costs more. It means a lot to Pure Talk. And because they don't have a store on every corner, you still save a fortune. You don't have to sacrifice service. Switch your cell phone provider to Pure Talk, please. That's a great way to say thank you, don't you think? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, tackling all the issues of the day. We just did Medal of Honor Tuesday, talked a lot about injustice in the first hour. This one made me snicker something fierce, though. I have to get to this before we get to SCOTUS and more emails and things like that. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz was complaining about Alligator Alcatraz, that it's a deportation facility in Florida. That's all. That nobody's being housed there permanently. If you're an illegal, you're about to be deported. They're going to hold you there until they deport you. And this is what she dropped.
So they essentially drink. They get their drinking water and they brush their teeth where they poop in the same unit. They bragged that they went above standards, supposedly, and gave them a 3-foot privacy wall that stretches the length inside the 32 detainee cage.
They brush their teeth where they poop? You mean like everyone else in the United States of America that has a bathroom? Does Debbie Wasserman Schultz have an outhouse? You know, that could be the only explanation for that. I can't believe they brush their teeth where they poop. It's a bathroom. I believe my toilet is located approximately 3 feet away from the sink where I brush my teeth. It's called a bathroom. We all have one. That's one. Two. I'm going to confess something to you. And then I'm going to move on and I'm never going to mention it again because I want to go do some emails and other stuff. I have brushed my teeth on the toilet before. Listen, Chris, I'm not going to be judged right away before I can even lob an explanation out there. In situations where I am crunched for time, maybe, don't look at me like that. I have occasionally, we're talking three times in my life, just having a confession. No, I understand it's gross. That's why I'm confessing it right now, Chris. I've done it, and I'm not proud of it, and Lord willing, I will never do it again, but I have done it, okay? Now, let me ask you, do you work with someone who also makes you feel bad about life? That's why you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is there so you don't have to work with people who make your life more difficult. All the good employees are already at ZipRecruiter. As you hear the sound of my voice right now, their resumes are already there. And ZipRecruiter does this thing because I could never find somebody. They have a matching technology. You post your job, they will match you with good candidates. You don't have to sit and click through a bunch of different screens all night long. They'll find you the one that's going to make your company better. Go try it for free. Stop banging your head against your desk. Stop suffering with brutal employees who question your teeth brushing on the toilet. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Hey, Colossal Clown Hands, how do you screen your emails you read on the show? You and Jewish producer Chris are functionally illiterate, so who's really running the show? There's not a ton of screening. I read almost everything you email in. I've told you this before. If you email, I will probably read it. The only thing that does get screened is if you go on too long, you'll learn that whenever you have a large group of people, there's always a couple psychos in there. And some people will email in two or three pages of emails. I'm not reading that. I'm not reading that. Well, Chris said more. Like, see, I don't see them. If you go on more really than a paragraph, I'm probably not going to see it. Chris knows I won't read it, so he'll just delete it. If you complain about advertisers, I don't like all the ads. Sorry, you don't understand how radio works. I won't ever see it. You'll immediately delete it. Beyond that, I get most of them. And I enjoy them. I really do. One's just like this one. Dear Beaver Trapper. Oh, I almost forgot to mention. I got a beaver. Yes, I did, Chris. In fact, I think I got two. I need to stress, I know I got one. I think I got two. You remember the story last week? A couple of you fruities got mad about it, but the beavers are tearing down all these amazing trees and we can't seem to trap them. We can't seem to get rid of them. And I told you that I located them. Oh, yeah. Capped one on Friday. Or no, Saturday. Capped one on Saturday. And I made a solid effort to try to get it out of the water so I could be wearing a beaver hat as you're hearing me right now on Tuesday. I was unsuccessful in getting it out of the water, and so the other animals ended up taking it first. They stole my beaver pelt. Don't think that I'm above getting a fake one. In fact, I believe I'm going to order it pretty shortly. What, Chris? What? Chris said pics or it didn't happen. Oh, there'll be pics, buddy. I'm not saying they're real. You think I'm above lying? I'm not saying they're real, but this did happen. And it was maybe the worst moment ever for my mom, because my mom was making merciless fun of me after she listened to the radio segment I did last week on beaver hunting. And she said, you didn't even kill one. You haven't done anything. All you did was see it, blah, 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 blah. When I finally got one, I came walking in her house with my hand raised in the number one sign, my index finger raised in the air. And she just put her head in her hands because she knew what had happened. And I have made her call me Beaver Hunter. Well, she hasn't actually done it, but I've requested that she call me Beaver Hunter all weekend long. I've been over the top obnoxious about the whole thing, and it has been fantastic. You know what else is fantastic? SCOTUS lift the block on Trump's plan to dismantle the Education Department. Now, I need to make something 100% clear about this. The Supreme Court did not say that Trump can eliminate the Department of Education. That's not what they said. So don't let bad headlines mislead you. Only Congress can really totally get rid of the Department of Education, because it was Congress that created the Department of Education under Jimmy Carter. That's another story entirely. But SCOTUS did say you can fire these people. Now Donald Trump and Education Secretary Linda McMahon, they are free to start firing people. Is this everything we ever wanted? No. But it's a big, big, big deal. Celebrate this. This is a win. And there's another part of this win. I talked to a lawyer today, which was brutal, but I talked to a lawyer today. Hang on. I'll be right back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you would like to email the show, you can. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, and we will get to a bunch of those emails shortly. But Okay, so back to what the Supreme Court did. Remember, the Supreme Court did not eliminate the Department of Education. They didn't even say Trump could eliminate the Department of Education because he can't. It was created by Congress. It can only be eliminated by Congress. But what the Supreme Court did do is they said, oh, no, you can fire a bunch of people. Go ahead. I know that's a crazy thing to celebrate because how did we ever end up in a place where you can't fire government people? But that is the place we've been. And now that that's changing, it's something to celebrate. And you're starting to see this happen more and more across government agencies, like this lady who got dumped by the State Department.
First one is disappointment. I'm a lawyer by trade and I live for Supreme Court decisions, at least to have reasoning. So, you know, to have the six justices just allow this to happen without even explaining their decision is extremely disappointing. Then I go into anger. Anger since the beginning of this administration by the misrepresentation about what we actually do. And it is extremely anger inducing that this misrepresentation of what we do and how important our work is perpetuating. And
the sense of entitlement with these freaking government employees drives me insane. They all think that they're these saintly civil servants when they're not. Most of you are a bunch of lazy dorks who couldn't make it in the private sector. You took the job because the benefits are great. You get 8,000 paid vacation days a year. Please don't sell me on the important work you do. Most of you are committed communists who, when you're not on vacation, use your time to try to undermine Republicans and help help Democrats. We all know that's exactly what you do. Back to what we were talking about the Supreme Court decision. What this did do, according to a lawyer friend of mine, was it potentially opened up the possibility of firing of other government employees en masse, meaning not just the Department of Education. I'm not saying we're there yet, so don't get excited, but he told me this could very well lead to the Supreme Court saying, look, you want to fire a bunch of IRS agents? Go ahead. You want to fire a bunch of FBI agents? Go ahead. CIA, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. This has the potential. I know it sounds like a small story. It has the potential to shrink the government in a large, large way. Of course, it's not enough. We need to completely eliminate these agencies, but that's really freaking cool. In my mind, that's a good, good, good start. Jesse. Or actually, he said, Dear Beaver Trapper, why are conservative podcasters having Gavin Newsom on? Okay, so a lot of this is in response to Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan, who I like a lot. Sean Ryan had Gavin Newsom on his show. Gavin Newsom was asked some questions by Sean Ryan, and he didn't necessarily give the best answers.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look,
he's talking about tranny stuff. Tranny stuff. Can your 8 year old tranny, that kind of thing.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9 year old, just became nine. Come on, man. I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting. Just the issue of age. As someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage. Mm-hmm. The trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years. I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else, whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that.
Okay, let me explain something. And it may seem like an obvious point, but Gavin Newsom's running for president, as you know. He's going to run to be the Democrat nominee in 2028, and it'll be the least surprising announcement in the world. Gavin Newsom's running to be president. And there is something that you and I always have to remember. We are not normal voters. We are not even the majority of voters. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about people who vote on the right or Republican or something like that. I'm talking about our level of knowledge about the issues, our level of knowledge about this scandal or that issue or the border or taxes or the tranny stuff or whatever. If someone were to ask you about that, you would be able to explain exactly what's going on, why it's going on, about a variety of issues. Most voters are not this way. Gavin Newsom goes on every podcast he can find, including right-wing podcasts, because Gavin Newsom understands he needs to speak to the voter who goes whichever way the wind happens to be blowing. You probably know someone like this. Maybe you are someone like this. I'm talking about the person, well, I voted for Obama twice, and then I voted for Trump the first time, and then I voted for Biden, but then I went back and I voted for Trump, and now I'm unhappy with Trump. And that, I know when you hear about people like that, it just makes you want to run through a brick wall, because you're thinking, how could, what does that mean? What do you even vote on? Don't sit and bash yourself over the head trying to understand that's how a lot of people vote. Just know that's how a lot of people vote. And here's the other part that's maybe the most maddening part about this. Those are the people who decide elections. The undecideds that go whichever way the wind blow, they decide who's the next president. Isn't that nuts? It's freaking awful. But you don't get to decide. I don't get to decide. We can work. We can help pull them our direction. But we don't decide elections. Gavin Newsom is running for president. And Gavin Newsom is doing something very intelligent. He is going on right-wing shows, and he's answering questions. And this answer he gives here, I'm going to play it again here in its entirety. It's not designed to win you over. Gavin Newsom is not trying to win you over. You are too informed. He can't win you over. Gavin Newsom is trying to speak to somebody. Sean Ryan has a huge show. He's trying to speak to the guy in the audience who sometimes votes left and sometimes votes right, and I'm not sure, but now I'm mad at them. He's trying to answer the question while sounding reasonable to that guy, also signaling to the demonic Democrat base that he won't stop them from mutilating children. He's trying to walk the tightrope. He's trying to tell the demons, yes, you can keep mutilating kids, while also trying to tell Normie Norm that he's not that much of a psycho. That's what you're hearing with this gobbledygook answer.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9-year-old, just became 9, come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just... the issue of age, I haven't, as someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage, The trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years, I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else, whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that.
What did he say there? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But Norm and Norma, they might hear that answer and say, okay, he's not a complete psycho like other people. I mean, he's not Jasmine Crockett.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory. And so I want y'all to understand the makeup of my state. The state is a majority minority state. And what this legislature historically has done is what they plan to do again, is to dilute the voices of people of color in order to make sure that they can get to where they're trying to go. We saw this Department of Justice decided to put out a letter, and what did they do? We only have 4 seats that are represented by black folk, where the vast majority of the people that get to decide who they have represent them are black. They decided to attack 3 of the 4 seats that we have in the state. They decided to go after a lot.
He doesn't sound like that. Maybe Norm thinks, okay, that's a Democrat I could vote for. That's what he's going for. As for why these people have them on, I don't want to speak for them, but I'll give you my answer in a moment before I get to that. Remember that Republican or Democrat, left, right, today, tomorrow, babies are still being killed en masse in this country. We won a battle when Roe versus Wade got overturned, but that didn't stop abortion. In fact, if you look at the numbers, It didn't even slow it down. They found a way to start shipping abortion pills to women, so now more than half the abortions in the country happen in her bathroom. Isn't that so sad? What chance do we have when she can just order a pill through the mail? An ultrasound. That's our chance. If we can just get her in for a free ultrasound, let her hear that heartbeat, she can't go to her bathroom and kill it because it's her baby. Save the baby and the mother. Preborn will give her that ultrasound. It costs them $28. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go to give. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get back to some more emails, and we'll talk about, well, being replaced intentionally by foreigners and why and all that stuff. Before we get to that and Ukraine and other things, I wanted to answer the guy's question because I didn't want to avoid it. Why are people having Gavin Newsom on their podcast, on their television show? He's a Democrat. He's a scumbag. Why have him on? Why have him on? Well, I don't do that. And let me explain why I don't have a lot of politicians on. You know, I don't have a lot of guests on, period, because I just prefer my own self. I prefer my own thoughts. I prefer to just do the whole thing myself. Part of that is a control freak thing. If I have on a guest and they suck, you suffer. I probably only have you for 15 minutes. You're in your car, you're on the way, maybe you're stuck in traffic. I have 15 minutes to try to make your day a little bit better. Make it interesting, make it laugh. If I have a guest on that sucks, it ruins it. So that's part of why I don't have many guests. But a big reason why I don't have many politicians is politicians, most of them, really all of them, because they're men, they will disappoint you. They'll disappoint me. Eventually they will. And that's okay. That's okay. If I wanted them to be just like me, I would just go run again from myself, right? They're different. They see things differently. But sometimes they will turn out to be treasonous little snakes, and maybe they weren't that way earlier, or maybe they were lying earlier. And if I had that person on, I will feel partially responsible because I promoted them. Ken Buck was a former congressman from Colorado. I have played the audio of Ken Buck multiple times, sucking up to the FBI while the Stasi was abusing American citizens, their rights, arresting pro-lifers. And I played the audio of Ken Buck. Oh, I love you, Chris. The FBI is the best. You shouldn't defund anything. You guys are perfect. You protect us. And I even made the accusation, completely without evidence, I should note, that, oh, go ahead and play it, Chris. This Ken Buck.
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
That was while the FBI was in the middle of some of the worst civil rights abuses by a government agency in the history of this country. You know, I interviewed Ken Buck before, and not in a hostile way. I think it was on TV, not radio, and it was years ago. But he was, you know, he had a fairly conservative voting record, and we brought him on. I promoted that man. I hate that. I really, really, really hate that. Because I don't want to promote somebody who is bad. Now, I have no idea why he made those statements. Again, I accused him without evidence of being compromised in some way, and I still believe that. That it was so bizarrely over the top that it almost seemed out of place. And then he retired promptly. He basically sucked up to Christopher Ray for a minute and then retired. It seemed bad. It looked bad. But whatever. My philosophy is that I have been given this huge platform. It's a blessing I don't deserve. And I try, well, obviously I fail sometimes, I try to not promote anything or elevate a voice that shouldn't be elevated. But that is just my philosophy. There are other people who would say, why, Jesse, bring on, who do I hate the most, Chris? What politician do I hate the most? I hate all of them, really, for the most. Cornyn, okay, good. That's a good example as any. Chris said John Cornyn. I've had people email in and say, Jesse, you hate John Cornyn. I get that. Why not bring him on and ask him hard questions? Why not bring him on and ask him about the gun control thing? Why not? And I'll be honest with you. I don't bring him on because I don't want to promote him. And I don't ask him hard questions because they'll just lie. They'll give me talking points like every politician does. But the question is still a very valid one. And a lot of really decent people have that philosophy of, no, bring them on. Kind of one of those sunlight is the best disinfectant things. Bring them on, sit them in the chair, ask them hard questions. It's just a different philosophy. That's why different people bring them on. It's just a different philosophy. I do not, I will not, I don't like interviews. I really hate interviewing politicians, and I really, really, really hate interviewing communists, so that's not something I'm going to do on my show, but I get why others do. All right. Let's discuss Ukraine, Russia. It's going to hurt a little bit, but let's discuss Ukraine and Russia. Before we discuss Ukraine and Russia, though, we are going to discuss being replaced. You being replaced. Your children being replaced. What's happening? We'll show you a really great example of it in just a moment. Before we show you that, let's get you feeling good. Feeling full of energy, full of pep, ready to go. That's what natural herbal supplements from Chalk have done for me. I'm just going to tell you that I have so much more energy now than I used to. So much better focus at work. I know it may not come through, but I have so much better focus. But
my focus is just stay focused.
See? Just like that. A male vitality stack from Chalk has saved my life. Changed my life, I should say. I don't know about saved it, but man, alive do I feel good now. I used to come home after work and just be zapped. You ever zapped when you get home from work? You're totally done. You just want to sit down and just stare at the wall. I don't feel like that anymore. I sleep so much better now. I had normally been a good sleeper when I was younger, and then I started having to toss and turn. You wake up. This no more. Try Male Vitality Stack from Chalk, gentlemen. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. How many more testimonials do I need to read you from guys whose lives have been changed? Women, too. Female Vitality Stacks. Go get a massive summer discount on subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription. Call them. Or you can even text them. 50-CHOQ-3000. 50-CHOQ-3000. 3000. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.